Amen. Oh, there we go. All right. Anybody got some other snacks? Wow, this is really different. All right. Let me get to what I was going to share. So, last week, we had an incredible time together with Paul and Aniki and the Holy Spirit, didn't we? And I wanted to find out if there were any testimonies from last week. If anybody's got anything to share, I'm going to give you an opportunity in a little bit. So prepare if you do. What was incredible for me was that we brought the kids in, and some of the kids were ministered to. And God, I think God really touched a lot of people last week. But we, as I was meditating on it and thinking about it, you know, so often we struggle to let go. And we come forward and we really ask God, won't you touch me? And we prayed for baptism of the Holy Spirit as well. We prayed for people to receive their tongue. And yeah, sometimes we don't feel anything. Sometimes we stand here and maybe we're resisting in our hearts. And there could be many reasons why we don't feel anything. Does that mean that God hasn't poured His Spirit out on us? That He hasn't filled us with His Spirit? I don't think so. And so I just felt really to encourage you that if you were here last week and you went home feeling disappointed, you came forward for prayer, for healing, or for God to touch you, you just wanted to get a fresh touch from the Lord and you didn't feel anything. Or maybe you did feel something and you were not sure about it. And then you went home and the enemy starts to put doubt in your mind. That's exactly what he does. That's his trick. That's the same thing he did with Eve in the garden. Did God really say not to do that? Did God really come and touch you? Or was there, what was that? Was there anything? And I think so often we doubt. And we actually become what the scripture says is double-minded in James. And we'll get there in a little bit. But what I wanted to do, when I received, and we're going to share, I think I've asked the elders and their wives, so it's John and Kanya and Michelle, actually to share just a short testimony of when they received the Holy Spirit. And then we'll take it from there. So who wants to go first? John. All right. And this is really just to encourage you because it doesn't happen the same with all of us. Not everybody gets a bolt out of lightning and a bolt of lightning out of heaven and you start speaking in tongues immediately. Not everyone gets that. It does happen to some. It happened in the upper room. They started speaking in other tongues, in other languages. There were people from all over the world that heard them in their language. And so it happens differently for all of us. Let's hear how it happened for John.
So I grew up in a more traditional church where things of the Holy Spirit were not evident. And then in the 90s, there was a real move of God across the churches, across the charismatic churches, when there was gold dust and people's fillings were being gold and it was crazy. God just did something very unique. I can see a few of the older people are going, yes, I remember those times. And it freaked me out. I was absolutely petrified of anything to do with that because I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. And because I'm not in control, I'm running. And I got a prophetic word, actually, and it says, yeah, you are petrified of the things of the Spirit, but one day God is going to use you in all those things. And I'm like, yeah, right, you've got no idea who you're talking to. And cut a long story short, we went to Bible school, and myself and Kanya, we were married at that time, and we went on an outreach to this village. And we all stood outside, and in preparation for going into the meeting hall to minister, and everyone was praying and everything like that, and God showed up, and the whole team, so we were 10 of us, I think, with some leaders, so maybe 12 of us. Everyone dropped at the same time, just under the power of the Holy Spirit, except me. I opened my eyes and I'm the only one standing. And I'm like, and me? And I really struggled. I had a little bit of an offense because it had never happened to me before, and now it just happens and they didn't even ask for it. God came and explained to me that he wanted to show himself to me not because of his power, but because of his intimacy. And that he wanted to have a different intimacy with me compared to what I had in my mind. And so he first had to shape that before he was going to show his power to me. And then it was months later, we were in a time of worship and we were praying, and God just hit me. It was like I was hit by a wave of love, of peace, of grace, and I could not stand anymore, and I collapsed, and I just began to weep, and God did something deep inside of my spirit. He didn't do that with anyone else. He did that just with me. And so you can't compare what God does in your own heart or in your own life. There isn't a scientific formula. And God wanted to show me something very individually. And I think for an encouragement to anyone who's perhaps offended with God because they didn't touch you, he didn't touch you the way that you were expecting, that perhaps inquire of God of what he wants to teach you. All right, so who's next?
All right, so I grew up in a very traditional church, the NG Church, and I struggled when I was little because I was a real chatterbox, and just being quiet in church was a real challenge. Anyway, so I grew up, and then teenage years, I got saved. God just touched me and I got born again, realized that I had to make the choice. I got born again. And then a few months later, we went, so now I'm not used to this, but I'm desperate. And we went to a meeting and they prayed and they spoke about being touched by the Holy Spirit and being prayed over and the power of the Holy Spirit and even praying in tongues. So I was like, I want that. So I went forward, somebody prayed for me, and I only had like these weird little sounds. And I was like, I don't know if this is right. But then they were explaining that, you know, sometimes that's how it starts. And I got home, but I had this fear that what if it's not of God? What if it's something else? And I'm now going against God. And then it took me days of wrestling, reading in the Word, people praying for me, and to get me to a point where I wasn't fearful, but I accepted it and I took it on as faith. And then, that was as I said, sometimes you've got to learn more, and maybe more words or more sounds will come. So I just persisted, and over the years, God's given me a few more words, a few more sounds. It still is amazing to me that He gives us that gift. But all I want to say is don't be fearful. Know that it's a faith thing that you have to just accept. And God really uses it for, if I don't know what to pray for somebody, or I get to a situation and I don't know what to pray, I just pray in tongues. And God often then just gives me a picture or settles something in me. And yeah, so it's a beautiful gift. But no, it is with faith, and it is looks different to everybody. But yeah. Amazing.
Thanks. Mine's completely different. So I grew up in quite a volatile home. My mom served the Lord, my dad didn't. So we couldn't really practice our faith in the home unless, for instance, my dad wasn't there or he was sleeping. So the one thing, though, is my mom loved the Lord. She was a woman of the Spirit. I think I'm here today because of her. And so when I was very little, probably 4 or 5 years old, I was in kids' church. I used to hear her praying in tongues. And I would always know her time of prayer and really spending time in the Word was after my dad would go to sleep. Then she would sit on the same couch. And it's amazing. I still have this picture in my head of the exact couch she would sit in. But I would listen to her praying in tongues. And so I just started copying her. I'd hear her make a sound. I would make the sound. I didn't know what she was doing. Obviously, I'm 4 years old, 5 years old. And slowly, I just started copying her. And she started hearing me copying her when she would pray in tongues. And she got totally freaked out. So she went to the kids' church worker and thanked the Lord for Spirit-filled kids' church volunteers. And the volunteer said to my mom, "But don't you see that the same Holy Spirit in you is in your daughter? It's the same Holy Spirit. So encourage it." And that is literally how I started praying in tongues. Slowly my own language as a 5, 6, 7-year-old started developing. And I can tell you, praying in tongues for me sometimes is as much as praying in my own language, because I often, especially in the family I grew up with, when I didn't know how to pray, it's automatically what I did. And then just the second little story I asked Paul if I could share, because it's not only about speaking in tongues. That's not what the only thing we're focusing on. This is healing. This is trusting God for breakthrough. This is feeling the power of the Holy Spirit, the weird, the wonderful, all those things that are biblical. Is also, as a child, I grew up in a charismatic church. And so I saw a lot of the move of the Spirit. I saw people falling over. I saw healings. And I'll also never forget, I was probably 6, maybe 7 years old, very vivid in my mind. Again, my mom was sitting in a chair late at night praying, and I used to sing in bed till late at night and drive my parents crazy. And I was lying in bed and wondering what she's doing, and all of a sudden, and I remember this, I went up to my mom, walked down the passage, went to her chair, and I looked at her, and I said, "Mommy, I want to know what it feels like to fall over." Like that. And she looked at me, she said, "Okay," and she laid hands on me, and she, I can't remember what she prayed, but she prayed for me, and all of a sudden, I didn't thankfully fall over, there was no one behind me, but I literally felt, and I can remember this, I felt the Holy Spirit on me, and I felt like I wanted to go back, and I kind of stood up again, and I looked at her, and she always told me the story, and I said, "Okay," and I went to bed. And that's what it's like being childlike, when it's not childish, because we mature, we know what the Scripture says, we know this is in the Word, but it's childlike. As a 5-year-old, as a 7-year-old, just being so desperate for a touch of the Holy Spirit, and I just accepted it like that. I didn't need to really even understand it, but I saw the power of it, and I was hungry for it.
I think the bottom line is that we need the Holy Spirit in us. Even Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. When he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and after he came out of the water and the dove came onto him, his ministry started with being baptized in the Spirit, and the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. And it's the same with the church. The church started with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out. And my story is a little bit different. And I'm glad we're all different. I gave my life to the Lord when I was young. I grew up in, I don't know if you know, Hatfield Christian Church in Pretoria. I gave my life to the Lord. And I also desired to be filled with the Spirit. And I went forward and I didn't feel anything. And I really wanted to speak in tongues. And I didn't. That lightning didn't hit me, you know. I didn't just start speaking in tongues. And actually the pastor led a whole lot of us. We were loads of people just come to the front, and he led us in just speaking syllables, you know, saying, "Because you've got to use your voice. You've literally got to speak. And many of us think that God will do it, but you have to actually open your mouth and start saying, Kera la la basita, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. And so that's what I did. And my tongue started developing over time. And I always wondered, is this real? You know, God, is this from you? Or is this just something that I've brought on, you know, I've made up myself? And I knew it was real when my late wife was going through cancer treatment. And I'll tell you two stories where I knew my tongue was real. She had a whole lot of fluid on her lungs, and we rushed her through to Livingston. She couldn't breathe, literally couldn't breathe. She had about 3 liters of fluid around her lungs and was just squashing her lungs that she couldn't breathe. And we went into the hospital at Livingston in PE. I don't know if anyone's been there. Terrible place. But the oncology unit was actually brand new, and it was amazing. The young black lady came and saw us, incredible doctor. And so she said, well, look, I'm going to have to do a lung puncture through the ribs and make a hole and drain into her lung. And a friend of mine who had a bicycle accident was knocked off his bicycle on the road to Port Alfred, a very narrow road, by a truck. And I remember him telling me that's one of the most painful things is to have a drain put into your lungs, because they can't really deaden your lungs. So the doctor actually injected into her side to deaden between the ribs, and then she started cutting. And she made this hole, and she pushed this pipe in, and she said to her, when you get into the lungs, it's going to be probably very painful, but we've got no other thing. We can't do it any other way. And so I just started praying out loud in tongues. This doctor must have thought I'm crazy. And I was sitting on the bed next to her. And the next minute the doctor said, we're in. And the fluid started coming out. She didn't feel a thing. And I said, wow, God, you are powerful. You know. And the second time it happened, when I realized this is real. This is not me made up this thing. Is four of us did the Transbavians mountain bike race, and one David Smith. I don't know if most of you know David Smith, an elder in Hartenbos. He was one of the guys on our team. And as you go down into the Bavians Kloof, where it really starts getting mountainous, there's one pass that you go down, and it's very corrugated. And David, I think, had forgotten to unlock his front shocks. And so he hit these corrugations at a mean speed and lost control on his bike. And I'd already gone down the hill probably about 2 kilometers, and I waited and I waited and I waited, and nobody came. And eventually I heard that somebody had fallen, and I rode back up the mountain. And when I got to David, it didn't look good. He was in a heap. His bicycle had hit a rock. I think his head had hit a rock. He was lying on his side. He had blood coming out of his nose, out of his mouth. And I thought, Lord, what can I do? And all I knew what to do was to pray in tongues. And there were one or two people standing around, and I prayed out in tongues for about 40 minutes, out loud. Knew nothing else what to do. And two or three of the guys had gone to get help, and David was, I think he was Kasavak back, and he went to the hospital, and we carried on riding. And the next week, I went to go and see him in hospital, and he said to me, you know what? When you started praying in tongues, I thought I was going to die. But when you started praying in tongues, it was like this oil came over my body, and I knew I'm going to be okay. And I knew. God used my tongue and just to do something there, a supernatural to touch David. And so however you receive your tongue, whether it's through somebody helping you to develop one or two sentences. I remember there was a guy in Hawaii. I grew up in Hawaii. My parents were missionaries there, and my high school years were there. And there was one of the YWAMers. He had the weirdest tongue, and I used to laugh at this guy because his tongue literally was ra-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. That was it. He would stand in the shower and pray that And I didn't hear him in the shower, by the way, but that's what he told us. So it's different. It sounds different for everybody. But it's not something to be afraid of. And I really wanted to encourage you with that, because sometimes we overthink these things. We over-spiritualize it. But we need to actually just surrender. And there was a prophetic word that came through from Rochelle, who went to the prophetic conference in Bloemfontein. I think it was in Bloem, eh? In Joburg this weekend. And she just said it's an encouragement for people to not, and she saw a picture of two specific sails, on sailboat sails, basically. The one was actually of a kite surfer, and she felt that all you needed to do was to let go. Now, I hope you don't let go of the sail, but I mean, I think she meant to let go and go. Her encouragement was not to close your sails. The encouragement for you today is when you trust in God, don't close your sails. The wind is pumping. The Holy Spirit wants to fill your sails. All you need to do is open the sail. The Spirit is ready to fill it, but he does need you to take that step of obedience and say, I'm ready. Come and fill me to the full measure of what he's asking me to do. And then the other was of a sailboat. And the wind can blow the boat itself, but to get the full measure of what he wants to do, you have to open the sails as big as possible to catch the wind. So stepping out in obedience is what's going to break it open. And I think you need to put up the biggest sail you can. You know, on a sailboat you get the main sail. Where's Mark? The main sail, and you get a jib, and you get a spinnaker. I think the spinnaker is a big one. Looks like a balloon in the front. That's what we need. We need a spinnaker. God wants you to put up your spinnaker. Even when you come into times of worship, put up your spinnaker, because God wants to fill us. The scripture says that we need to be filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And so that speaks about constantly being filled. We need to be filled because God wants to use each one of us. He wants to take each one of us into the more. He wants to reflect his glory through each one of us. Each one of us needs to bring your fragrance to the fragrance, if you know what I mean. And I felt just to encourage you with that. I want to turn to a passage of scripture in Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Can you put that up for us? Luke chapter 11. And he said to them, which of you, is that verse 5? Sorry, I want to go to the passage. There's a little bit ahead of that. I'm going to just go to it in my Bible. Luke chapter 5. Sorry, did I say? It's 11. Sorry, Luke 11. Wrong page. All right. And this is a story about that Jesus spoke about. He said, a friend comes at midnight. And he said in verse 5, and he said to them, have you got this part? Yeah, there we go. Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, his persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Because of his persistence. And sometimes we need to come persistently and ask. We need to come with persistence. And if you didn't receive anything last week, or you felt you didn't receive, or you didn't feel that you felt that you received to the fullness, then come again. And come and stand here and put up your sail and let God fill it. Because he says in verse 9, would you carry on with verse 9, slightly differently in my Bible. Verse 9, otherwise I'll read it. Is it there? All right, don't worry, I'll read it in mine. New King James Version says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from his father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Isn't that amazing? We need to seek. We need to ask. We need to knock. And we need to consistently do that. Because if we're persistent, he will. He's good. He's a good father. And he wants to pour out his Spirit on us. He wants to heal us. And I just have such a desire and a longing, almost an urgency in my heart to trust God for miracles and for healing. And for God to come and do things in this place. And we've had prophetic words that this is going to be a fountain of life. God's going to pour out his Spirit on us. Not for us, but so that the lost can come and be saved. Jesus did miracles which drew people to him. And he could teach them about the kingdom. And so I really want to just encourage you with that today. As we come into worship, I just want to check something. You know, when we come, there was a quote that I wanted to share from a podcast that we listened to yesterday. And I don't know if you know a lady by the name of Rita Springer, but she's an incredible worship leader and songwriter and written a lot of worship stuff. And she had a lady on that had been just incredibly healed by the Lord. And it was a process of healing. But she said this. She said, "The Lord told us to do the greater things," John 4:12. "The greater things is not to be Jesus or to pick the outcome, because the outcome is not up to us. We're not called to be Jesus. We're just called to pray and to come with faith and to believe." And I want to see people healed. I want to see blind eyes opened. I want to see deaf ears opened. I want to see backs healed. I want to see cancer healed. But no matter what the outcome, I trust that we will be a passionate people that will stand firm in the freedom of Christ. Not based on the outcome, but on the fact that he is God and that he is good. That he's a loving father, and that he wants to do these things, not for our glory, but for his namesake, for his glory. And you see, the victory has already been done. He has the victory. He did it at Calvary. And so we need to just trust him and believe. And I think so often we slip back into that thing of doubt and unbelief. But we need to believe. We need to believe that his word is truth and that he will do what he says he will do. And Galatians 5, just quickly end with this. Galatians 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And don't go back into slavery or into bondage." And I know that Paul is speaking to the Galatian church. There was teachers that had come in and they were trying to draw the people back into falling under the law. But I believe that often we do the same thing in many ways. We believe the lies of the devil. And he lies to us, and we just don't get victory. And as I was just with the rains of this week, and I've just noticed our garden has been overgrown with weeds. I don't know if you've got weeds in your garden, but we got these broadleaf weeds, and I've started weeding them. It's like a thistle, but it's not a thistle. It's not as prickly as a thistle, but they grow roots on the ground almost, and they grow all over the place. And they suffocate the grass. They kill the grass underneath. And I think that's what the enemy does to us. When we believe the lies and we start to doubt. And I think sometimes we just need to look at our hearts and say, Lord, are there things in me? Are there weeds that I need to pull out? Where the enemy has come and he's put unbelief in my heart. Maybe you didn't feel it. But that doesn't mean God hasn't done it. And maybe you didn't feel your healing yet, or you didn't receive your healing yet. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't done it. He hasn't started to do it. I'm trusting God for my hip. So I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. Deal with the unbelief in my heart. Because I walked away here from with a little bit of disappointment in my heart. Because I'm trusting God for my hip. But I still feel the pain. But I know God has touched me. And He's going to heal me. And if He doesn't, that's okay. I'm still going to trust Him. And I'm going to love Him. I'm going to serve Him. And I'm going to be a vessel for Him. Regardless. I'm not going to give up. Amen? Is there anybody that wants to share a testimony from last week? William.
Just a bit of background. About 6 months ago, I had a really bad shoulder injury. And Paul and Aniki is the overseers of our com in Hartenbosch at that time. So they prayed for me, but before the com, I think on a Wednesday or the Tuesday, I went to the doctor. And she sent me for a sauna and x-rays and water. And the Thursday, they prayed for me, and the Friday morning, Natasha said to me, go to the specialist just to make sure everything is okay. Because the x-rays, he need to check. So when I get to him, he said to me, if I look at the x-rays, you are not supposed to use your arm. You cannot technically lift your arm above your shoulder because these muscles are torn. But I had no pain at that stage after the prayer on the Thursday night. So I knew that God did something. I didn't tell it to the doctor because he will think I'm crazy. So he gave me an injection. He injected cortisone into my shoulder, and I went to Angola. And it was okay. And then about 3 months ago or 2 months ago, I really started to have major pain in my arm again. 90% of my work on the vessel is typing work. So I type the whole day. And that exercise, I think it's put a lot of strain on this muscle. So Natasha asked for prayer about 4 weeks ago on our com, and you guys prayed for me, and I could survive. And then last Sunday, really, when you get that bitter taste in your mouth, then you know the pain is quite severe. So every night it's painkillers. And I was standing here Sunday night, and Paul is so busy, man. I don't want to go and bother him, because there's so many people here that coming for a prayer. Why would God now bother with me? So I was just standing here, but I had this real bad pain. And at the stage, there was like a pause here. And I said to Paul, I think you need to pray now. It's time. I was thinking about that phrase in the Bible where the crumbs for the dogs is enough. And Paul prayed for me. And I felt, you know, when you're taking chewing gum and you try to pull it, it was like that inside my shoulder. I really felt like muscles are moving. And it was okay. And I go and I stand there at the back where Mark is standing. And I felt that my shoulder is hot and there's no pain. And I went back to Paul afterwards. I said, man, something happened now. He said, when I prayed for you, I could feel some heat coming from your shoulder. And we went home, and I thought, okay, maybe Monday morning, you know. And it's gone. I can use my arm. You know, when you move your arms at our age, things start cracking. It's normal. Today when we come to church, I actually was thinking when he gave Abraham and Sarah a baby when she was 99. He didn't make her 20. I think he gave her grace and wisdom to raise that child. So yeah, we have wear and tear, but I can really tell you that the pain is gone.
Amen. So does that mean we're not going to do push-ups together now? Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. Anybody else? Anybody else want to share anything? Okay. We're gonna go into worship now, and I want to encourage you that if you are feeling pain, if you are wanting God to heal you and trusting God for healing, then let your worship and your praise to Him drown out the pain. Let it drown out what you are contending God for. You know, it could be disappointment of the past. It could be hurts from the past. Let your praise drown that out tonight. And allow God to come and touch you. And be willing to put your sails up and receive from Him. Because God wants to come and do those things in our lives. Amen? Say again? Yeah.
Sorry, this is not a testimony from me, but from my mom. She was here last week, so if you don't know, she's 81. And yeah, we were standing and Paul was sharing. And then he said, who wants to have a touch from the Holy Spirit? And my mom was up from her chair and she was marching to the front. She goes, I want more of that. And I was so blessed and so encouraged. She's 81. She's still desperate for God. She's all her life. She's served Him. She's still desperate for Him. And Paul didn't even start praying. Now, she's also from a traditional church, but loves the Lord, has been filled with the Holy Spirit, has been baptized. She got baptized at 79 because she knew God spoke to her in water. Anyway, and Paul started praying for her. He didn't even say much. And she just went, poof. And she lay there, and I was praying for her, and she looked at me. She goes, do I have to get up now? And I went, no, it's fine. She goes, I'm just going to stay a little bit longer. And it was just so beautiful. She was so touched that she went home. She immediately told the neighbor how God touched her, how the Holy Spirit just filled her afresh. So, yeah, let's do it till the day we die. So, yeah, I was so encouraged.
Amen. So won't you come and join me here at the front, and we're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your love and your grace to us. Thank you, Lord, that you pour out your Spirit on us to enable us to witness for you, Lord, to be your witnesses and to endure till the end, Lord. And we come tonight, Lord, to worship you, Jesus, because you are the one that is worthy of praise. You overcame and led the way for us, Lord. And so we want to come and just bring our lives to you tonight and surrender all to you, Lord. You're so good, Father. You're so good, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for sending your Spirit so that we can have life. Thank you, Jesus.